What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. Thank you so much for listening. At home, at work, on the road. Getting to the money, leaving the money. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, thank you for listening to CBS Sports Radio. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had a busy show so far. We talked about Stephon Diggs being traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. We had a guest on, Sean Pendergast from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He came through. He pretty much said that, listen, the Texans, they should have AFC championship aspirations. Naturally, they should want to go to the Super Bowl, but realistically, hey, take another step forward. Last year, you won a wild card, you won a division. Well, this time, win a division and go to the AFC championship game. What a roster they have. Stephon Diggs doesn't have to be the guy. But man, they got some weapons. Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, Robert Woods is still there, whatever's left in his tank. Nico Collins. Oh, this is going to be fun for C.J. Stroud. People in fantasy are going to have a field day. Anyway, we'll get back to the Buffalo Bills and how sad they should be later on in the show. Talk more about the Texans. It is Wednesday. By the way, if you're not familiar, every single Wednesday I bring you a new top six list. And in an hour from now, and you'll understand why momentarily, we're going to talk about some of the biggest villains in the world of sports right now. Who are some of the biggest villains? Who are the bad guys? Who are the bad girls in the world of sports? And I say that because, well, yesterday I was not here, was under the weather. Today I am back. And by the way, you can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. Go to SiriusXM 158, excuse me. CBSSportsRadio.com. Ask a smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. You won't miss anything. Hit rewind on the free Odyssey app, and you can hear our interview with Sean Pendergast. Anyway, I wasn't here yesterday, and so I didn't have an opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into Iowa's victory against LSU on Monday night. We talked about the game live, but we found out that this was one of the highest-rated sporting events, men or women's, in the past year. 12.3 million viewers. It's like the only other sporting events that rated higher than that women's basketball game was NFL football. And we could just throw that out the window because NFL football is the most highly rated thing in this country. We're talking about higher ratings than the NBA Finals, than All-Star Games, than regular season games, NBA, MLB, NHL, everything. And that shows you how polarizing Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are. I mean, Twitter is a complete wasteland right now. There's racial commentary about Angel Reese. There's racial commentary about Caitlin Clark. And it was only a couple of days ago that they're just like, at least Angel Reese is like, listen, I just talk trash because it's basketball. That's what people do. They talk trash. And I know that's why a lot of people don't like Angel Reese, because she talks trash. And then when they lost the other night, she showed her human side. Listen to what she had to say post-game after LSU was eliminated and Iowa went on.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore, and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
Wow, okay. That was a post game. And she is a human being. And she cried. She also happens to be a young human being. She's only 21. She doesn't turn 22 until next month. And I will tell you, I think experience is the best teacher in life. Experience a few things. You learn through things. You go through some things. You become stronger. So at least there's an element there. And then she obviously feels very confident in herself. I think we've seen that over the past year. And it continued on. And I told you there should be a league that's happy. Well, that league should be the WNBA. Because this polarizing figure, Angel Reese, is on her way to the WNBA. And she announced it in such a way that is unique to Angel Reese. Take a listen to what she put on her TikTok today.
Hey, y'all. So today is a really, 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 really big day for me. So basically, long story short, I'm not going to post this video until after my last game at LSU. But sadly, I have decided that I am not coming back to LSU next year. And I am going to declare for the WNBA draft. It was obviously a hard decision for me to make, but it's best for me, my career, my family. So be happy for me or don't. I don't care. Anyway, to announce that I'm not coming back next year, y'all know the Bayou Barbie got to do it big. And to announce that I'm not coming back, I am going to be in Vogue. Not Teen Vogue, I've been in Teen Vogue before, been there, done that. Not European Vogue, not American Vogue. Front cover Vogue.
Oh, that's nice, and she was. If you're asking me, I would think, as an American, being in European Vogue would be a little bit more prestigious, but that's just me. What do I know about Vogue? I'm standing here in the studio, not that you could see me. I got on Nike shorts, a Nike hoodie, and Nikes. Like, what do I know about Vogue? I don't. Anyway, now having said that, I do know about basketball, and I do know about Angel Reese. I also think I have an understanding of media. As she gets older, and I think she's realizing this, if you give it, you got to be able to receive it back. That's lesson number one. And then lesson number two, and she knows this. She just talked about it. She was in tears. It's a nasty world out here. And we still got a lot of jerks. And there still are people who are a bunch of racists. There are racist people in the world. That is fact. It's just what it is, okay? But you got to understand, when you're a public figure, you're going to have the ups and you're going to have the downs. And it's going to be up to you as to how much of this that you want to embrace. How much do you want to share? How vocal do you want to be? I mean, this is not just stopping at Caitlin Clark trash talking on the court. I don't got no problem with it. I could care less trash talk. Caitlin Clark is yelling and screaming at everybody. We can talk sportsmanship until we're blue in the face. So we can talk about a double standards. Everybody talks trash. But the fact is, you also put the light on you. Okay, you've also opened up yourself for criticism by, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that are there. Yeah, you were in Sports Illustrated. You announced you're going to the WNBA with Vogue. You're doing interviews. You're sharing your life and sharing who you are on social media. And yeah, that's a learning experience for most people. I ain't doing no TikTok dances. I'm not wearing my outfit of the day. I'm not a 21-year-old woman. Most 21-year-old women don't have a camera in front of their face. Most 21-year-old women You know, they don't got to sit in front of a microphone. And hopefully this is a learning experience for Angel Reese. Hopefully Angel Reese can look at this and just say, okay, I can measure what I say or what I want to do to achieve what I want to achieve. And what do you want? You want money, right? That's what everybody wants. You want money. But if you want money, you got to be prepared for the vitriol. You got to be prepared for the literal hate. And one of the worst words that I don't like, and I'll say that, the usage of the word is hater. This person's a hater. You don't like something, you're a hater. You're a hater, 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 hater. Like, expand your vocabulary. Articulate what you actually want to say. Everybody who doesn't agree with something, doesn't like something, is not a hater. But in the case of Angel Reese, like, she's legitimately faced hate. Okay? I'm not Angel Reese. You don't think every now and then I get a disgusting message in my box? This is the world we live in. We can do better. And for the WNBA, they're going to appreciate the attention that they get because it's going to translate into dollars. She is a polarizing figure. The WNBA is also going to appreciate the fact that, yeah, Caitlin Clark is going to be moving on too. And Caitlin Clark is going to be the number one overall pick, and she's going to Indiana. If you want to look at draft projections for the WNBA, I don't know, maybe you haven't gone that deep. Angel Reese has been projected as, I don't know, the number 5 or 7th pick. Okay, we just saw her lose against Iowa on a bum leg, but she still went out there, had herself 20 rebounds, 17 points. Is she going to do that on the next level? I don't know. Asia Wilson might be out there busting her ass. I do not know. But we're going to find out, like, what she's made of and how she's built. Because if Angel Reese goes into the WNBA and they start handling Angel Reese, we may have gotten peak Angel Reese. We may have gotten the top of Angel Reese. It's up to her now to be open to the criticism on the basketball court and see if she can continue to grow. Otherwise, there's going to be some other words for her if she doesn't get the job done on the basketball court. It's a fact of life. It don't matter if you're Angel Reese, your next door neighbor, your kid, your brother, your son, your friend. If you're going to be able to dish it out, you have to be able to take it. And I'm not referring to hate or evil. I'm referring to flat criticism. The people who send her hate messages, well, they need to find better things to do. Meanwhile, speaking of better things to do, we got a, I don't want to call it ridiculous announcement, but we got a little bit of a teaser involving Caitlin Clark. And yes, we know Caitlin Clark is going to be in action against UConn to get into the championship game. But people are already thinking about next year. There's a little bit of a rumor going around that Caitlin Clark could be participating in NBA All-Star Weekend. Already? Listen to this. This is Shams on FanDuel TV.
At this point, Stephen Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu is very likely for next year. And next year's All-Star Weekend, guys, it's going to be in the Bay Area in San Francisco at Chase Center in 2025. And I'm told with Caitlin Clark and potentially Klay Thompson to make it 2v2, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, his Splash Brother, I'm told Steph Curry is specifically brought up potentially having Klay Thompson in this competition for next year. Could a guy like Damian Lillard be a candidate as well to join Steph Curry? But those two guys potentially against Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark, those are all conversations that are going to continue to go on in the coming months.
Hickey, I think this is a ploy from Steph Curry to boost the confidence of Klay Thompson. Like, hasn't Klay Thompson, hasn't he been up against the wall enough this past year?
I like that angle. Light a fire under his behind going into the playoffs.
It's like, hey, man, if we can get you out here and you get beat next season by Caitlin Clark, then, and at this point, by the way, Klay Thompson might not even be on the team. His contract is expiring. He's going to have pretty much no choice but to take a whatever offer the Warriors give him just to stick around. But, I mean, damn. Klay Thompson has openly talked about his his mind frame, how he feels as a player, his confidence. We've seen his confidence hit the floor. We've seen his body hit the floor, fall apart. But damn, me, am I interested in a two-on-two, three-point shootout, men versus women? No, don't care. I've seen it once. I don't need to see it again. What are they going to give us, three-on-three, 2 years from now? I could care less. Watching Steph versus Sabrina one time was enough for me. I guess they want to do it until one of the women or the women's team beats the men. I got no interest. I have seen women's basketball players whoop the asses of male players. I'm confident that that can take place in a shootout. I don't need to see it over All-Star Weekend. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep this conversation on hoops going. College hoops, that is. We're going to have a conversation with Mike DeSourcy, Fox Sports bracketologist, sporting news columnist. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Right before we went to break, we talked about a lot of the action going on the women's side of college basketball. Now we need to talk about the men's side and the women's side as well. Joining us right now is a columnist from the Sporting News as well as a bracketologist for Fox Sports. Mike DeCourcy is joining us. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate you.
Oh, happy to do it, JR. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I understand this is about news that is 15 minutes breaking. Have you heard about UConn not having a plane at the moment to fly to Arizona?
I had not heard that, although I was surprised when I saw that they were having a going away party or whatever today. And I know that at least half the Final Four touched down yesterday. So I was a little surprised that they were still there. But I was unaware that they were planeless.
Yes. According to Matt Norlander, UConn does not have a plane to fly to Arizona at the moment. Dan Hurley tells CBS Sports the plane was supposed to take off at 6 Eastern. Logistical and mechanical issues with the plane coming in from Kansas City for significant delays. The NCAA handles all travel for the tournament. That is the latest, as we have just learned minutes ago, Mike.
Well, now we know the one way to stop this team is to not let them get in the state.
Well, having said that, I'm sure before the game, after the game on Saturday, what are the odds that we hear Dan Hurley reference this? And what are your thoughts on how just straightforward and bombastic he's been throughout the tournament as they've blown everybody out?
Well, I don't think he'll say anything about this because it would be giving his players an excuse. And that Dan is a smart guy, and I don't think he would want to do that. I think that would be a mistake. Some of the stuff he said has kind of made me laugh because he said the national media would treat them differently if they were Carolina, et cetera. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm national media. He can't be talking about me. We just named him Coach of the Year at the Sporting News. So who's he talking about? And I suppose there are certain networks out there that talk a lot, but without necessarily always saying smart stuff. Where he might be complaining about them in particular, I'm not sure. But he didn't name any names in that article. He just said the national media. So I did. I was like for a second wondering if he understands that some of us in the national media have been on the UConn train for quite a while.
Yeah, all motivational tactics. They like to loop all of us in, all us national media folks. They like to put us all in one bucket. I don't like it, Mike.
I'm not a fan. I am not a fan. Call them out. If there's a particular person out there who's not giving you your due, go ahead. Say who. Otherwise, you know, don't blanket us all in there the same, because I know that I and many others who cover college basketball day to day understand what UConn is accomplishing to this point, what they did a year ago, what they are on the verge of doing now is absolutely amazing. They won the national championship a year ago, and a lot of people haven't presented Dan Hurley with the National Coach of the Year Award because of that, because they won it a year ago. They lost 75% of the scoring from the championship team, and they are better now. That's a Coach of the Year performance.
Mike DeCourcy is here with us from the Sporting News. Well, who has the best chance of knocking them off? Is it Alabama in the threes from Sears? Is it some of the big men at North Carolina State or Purdue? What poses the biggest threat or challenge to UConn?
I think it would be Purdue, because they are, first of all, a different challenge because of Zach Edey. He makes you play differently, and you could play successfully against them. Three teams did this year. Northwestern, Ohio State, both took them down, and then they were knocked off by Wisconsin in the conference semifinals. So you can beat them, but it takes an exceptional effort, and you also have to be able to deal with the inside and the outside. Edey is not the only weapon that they have. They are one of the top 3-point shooting teams in college basketball statistically. They're a little streaky in that regard, so you can make them have an off day, and that's Purdue's first challenge on Saturday, is to try to break through from 3-point range against a team in NC State that has let almost no one over the last 8 or 9 games be successful there.
Well, you talk about Zach Edey, and I think we can put to bed the fact that, yeah, he's good, and it's not just because he's big. But where do you really see him fitting and what the NBA is, not what it is or what it could be? What is going to be his standing when draft time comes around?
Well, the one thing that I've seen that has convinced me that things might be different, and first of all, I've seen him play, and he is much more nimble than he was a year ago. He has definitely worked on his body to make himself quicker, able to move better. I keep seeing at ESPN, Jonathan Givony keep him right around the lottery level of the draft. And Jonathan is a very connected draft analyst. He knows a lot of people in the business. He's been doing it for a very long time. And I don't believe that that's like John saying, I think this guy can be a lottery pick. I think that's John listening to the people that he deals with that are scouts and personnel people and all of that, and them saying, someone's going to take him. He's going to be good enough that someone's going to take him. And I look at Zach and I think that whether or it is someone who he is someone who can develop into a starter on a significant NBA team, or at the least become one of those players on that second unit, a much 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 taller TJ McConnell, who goes out there and plays in the second quarter and makes his team better. I think that is out there for him. One of those two elements is out there for him. I don't think that it's like it was a year ago when not many people thought he had a chance.
Mike DeCourcy is joining us from the Sporting News. When you think about the big man that's opposing him, we have seen DJ Burns turn it on over the past a couple of months, and just really take this moment and opportunity by the horn since he got thrown into the starting lineup. What do you see in this matchup? This is an interesting one because it's big guys, and this is what people want to see.
Yeah, it's a different one because DJ is, I mean, he's a wide-bodied guy. He's got great strength. He is hard to move. I think that Zach Edey has to be resistant to fouling him. And he's a complicated player to go against because he can use his footwork and get you off balance. And players foul a lot of times when they're off balance. So Zach has to be very careful about that. And I wonder, do you just go ahead and play him straight up and allow him on occasion to score over Zach, but it's not easy to score over him? I know that of all the players in college basketball, if there's anybody that can do it with reasonable regularity, it's DJ Burns. He's got an incredible touch as a low post player. But maybe they live with that and just say to Zach, don't foul him. That way they can cling to the perimeter, not have to double, and not give up a lot of threes, and figure that they can beat just about everybody going two for two because they've got Zach Edey.
Well, when you think about this tournament moving forward, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you got UConn taking on Purdue and UConn coming out on top.
Yeah, that's what I had UConn as the champion from the minute we were handed a bracket. It was funny because I right after the brackets put up there, I do some hits for BTN, Big Ten Network, and then I go into like a bubble and just write for about 6-8 hours straight, and I never hear the reaction that others are putting out there. And when I heard the reaction that everybody was saying what a really hard bracket they got, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, UConn's got no problem here. They're getting to Phoenix, man. There's nobody here that's going to stop them.
Well, the plane might stop them. We've learned that.
The plane might
now.
Stop them. Yes, I wasn't taking aviation into account.
Mike DeCourcy is joining us, sporting news columnist, also bracketologist, Fox Sports. Speaking of brackets, you filled out yours, and it looks like UConn is on its way. Let's see if Alabama reigns the threes. What do you think about the expansion of said tournament? This has been a fun one. There's been a lot of talk about the women and what have you, but this has been a fun men's tournament to watch. What do you think about potential expansion of it?
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's the idea of people who are looking at themselves in the mirror and not at the tournament that they've watched for 40 years. I mean, we're going to next year celebrate the 40th anniversary of the first 64-team tournament. And there has never been created a sporting event that elevates its core sport in the way that the NCAA tournament does. I mean, I guess if you talk about the Olympics and that's a collection of 70 sports or 20 sports in the winter or whatever it is. This is one sport with one event that has completely changed the perception and the appreciation of the tournament has completely changed the perception and appreciation of that sport. And to mess with that so that you can get a couple more teams in the field is ludicrous. They have a problem already. It's not as significant a problem as some say, but they already have a problem with their regular season engagement. That's already out there. So take drama out of the regular season and see if that helps you. The less drama there is in sports, the less reason there is to watch it. What I say about taking drama out of sports is, look, if there's no drama, we're just watching people exercise. And if I go to the gym, I can watch people exercise, and I can get some myself. I need the drama. That's what it's about. That's why we watch. We watched Caitlin Clark on Monday night because we didn't know whether Iowa could beat LSU with all their terrific players, Angel Reese, et cetera. But they could because of Caitlin Clark. And it's the same in the NCAA men's basketball. We didn't know who was going to make the field because it's hard to get in. You make it easy to get in, and there's less reason to watch.
Oh, Mike DeCourcy joining us from the Sporting News. Last question for you. Bring up Caitlin Clark. And we know the record-setting audience that tuned into that matchup on Monday night between LSU and Iowa. Now that Caitlin Clark is going to be moving on, and now that you also see Angel Reese is going to be moving on, we've seen the Juju Watkins of the world who is still going to be around. Can we expect to see those numbers trend upward, or do you think it's going to transition over to the professional game?
Well, I think there will be significantly more interest in the WNBA this summer. I've lived in Indianapolis for 10 years, and I know that even when in 2015, my friend Stephanie White, who I've known for a while, we worked together at Big Ten Network, when she was the coach of the Indiana Fever, my wife and I went to many games the year she coached them to the WNBA Finals. And the regular season games we went to maybe had 5,000 or 6,000. And the finals game that we went to against the Minnesota Lynx in 15, I think there were less than 10. It was borderline 10. I think that when Caitlin Clark gets there this summer, she'll be the number one overall pick by the Indiana Fever in the WNBA draft. I think they'll be regularly selling out. That's how compelling she is to watch. She's she's going to change the WNBA. And I think that that needs to be more embraced by some of the women's commentators that have been taking shots at her. But she will raise the level of WNBA. What she and Angel and others have already done, Paige Becker's another, is they have made people watch women's college basketball in the last couple of years. And what happens when that happens is that maybe not all of the 12 million who watch Monday night's game will watch next year's regional final. But a lot of the people who watched that game found out it was Caitlin was amazing. But it yeah. wasn't just that. It was a great sport. It was a great game. So people will remain. Not every single person, but a large percentage. And when Juju Watkins gets out there, they're going to follow her with as much passion if she continues on the ascent that she's on. They'll follow her over time with as much passion as they did Caitlin.
That's awesome for basketball. Domestically, it doesn't matter what gender, internationally. It's a beautiful thing to watch. I can tell you, growing up and playing against WNBA players in high school, people like Shannon Bobbitt who went to Tennessee. There's a time that the women have always been able to compete with the men. It's certain levels, but they can ball out too. And this has been a fun thing to watch. Hey, Mike, I appreciate you for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Where can people follow and keep up with you? Let us know.
Yes, I will be appearing multiple times this weekend on pre- and post-game coverage for the Big Ten Network relative to Purdue's participation in this Final Four. And then you can find all of my copy at TSN Mike on Twitter and at sportingnews.com. I did a really big piece on UConn and its drive to repeat this year. Talked to a lot of people who have and have not. The have-not, Greg Anthony, Cameron Mills, the haves, Lee Humphrey, Bobby Hurley, Coach K, a lot of really cool information in there. And I have a big piece coming out about the 40th anniversary of one of the most important games in men's college basketball history that will appear before the weekend. So look out for that.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for the great conversation. Enjoy the games, okay?
Thank you.
No problem. We'll catch up with Mike DeCourcy on Down the Line. Great, great talk there. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. I love what Mike had to say about we watch sports for drama. Everybody watches sports for drama. You want to have some type of interest in what you're watching. You don't just want it to be Tim Duncan versus Tim Duncan. That'd be boring. Put you to sleep. You need a Kevin Garnett out there to kind of get things going. It's not the worst idea to have a little bit of drama. Speaking of drama, on the other side of the break, even though the Kansas City Chiefs are champs, how the hell are they dealing with drama? I'm going to explain on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. Right before we went to break, we had a great conversation with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate you. He, like a lot of people, believes that UConn is going to win the national championship. We've also learned that UConn is dealing with travel issues ahead of the Final Four. Their plane is experiencing mechanical issues and logistical issues. Now, when I fly, they try to offer me money back. I say no thank you. I say, just get me to where the hell I need to be. I don't want to spend the night because your plane didn't do what it's supposed to do. Anyway, Mike DeCourcy also shared with us that UConn is the latest team to leave, scheduled to leave. All the other teams arrived yesterday because UConn wanted to have a going away party today. I don't know. Sounds like a stupid idea to me. And now they probably won't get to Arizona, maybe until late tonight. Early tomorrow is going to be time for the press conferences and such. So not the best of circumstances for the Huskies. The NCAA is in charge of all tournament travel. 855-212-4CBS. I want to let you know at the top of the hour, as I do every single Wednesday, I'm going to bring you a top six list. At the top of this hour, we heard from Angel Reese. She announced earlier today that she's going to be entering into the WNBA draft. And a couple of nights ago, at the conclusion of that loss to Iowa, she was human. And she verbally said that she was human. She cried. She expressed herself. She talked openly about some of the messages that she has received, the hate messages. And she was also empowering to herself and others, saying that, hey, you should just go out and be you. And there are a lot of people who look at her as a villain, as the bad guy in this saga between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. That Angel Reese also had to say earlier in the week, we don't hate each other. It's just basketball. It's just in between the lines. At the top of the hour, I'm going to give you a top six list of some of the biggest villains in sports. At this minute, though, I want to tell you about a different villain. I believe this villain doesn't play sports, but this villain is just a cheapskate. Players have called him a cheapskate. The Players Association has called him a cheapskate. It's Clark Hunt of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you didn't hear the news about the stadium in Kansas City or what might become of it, I want you to take a listen to this. This is from Fox 4 in Kansas City.
Voters say that they have too many unanswered questions about question one so far. It asked Jackson County voters to extend the 3/8 cent sales tax to fund a new downtown Royals baseball stadium in the East Crossroads District and in renovations out at Arrowhead. Not even close, though, tonight. 58% of the Jackson County voters voting no, 42% saying yes, the no vote leading by at least 13,000 votes at this point.
So basically, if you've never been to Kansas City, the Chiefs and the Royals, they basically play on the same damn plot of land. They do. There's a football stadium, a baseball stadium, and it's surrounded by parking lots. Boom, there you have it. Sounds like some of the stadiums in America. The middle of nowhere, a little bit easily accessible if you like driving me. I hate driving to football stadiums, but hey, what can you do? And the Kansas City Chiefs, like a lot of places, like a lot of stadiums, like a lot of people, they want to build a new stadium. They want the city to pay for the stadium. Well, where the hell does the city and the county get the money from? They don't just got a printing press. The money comes from you. The money comes from the taxpayers. And I think for a long time, go ask everybody down in Miami, what the hell does a publicly funded stadium do? They built a giant garbage can outside of downtown Miami for the Marlins to play in. It is a giant garbage can. Literally, it is. Now nobody shows up and goes to that. What a complete waste. If you've ever looked at Olympic stadiums, that they build these massive stadiums and arenas and cities all over the world. They pop them up and then they do what? Collect dust. And think about this. Is an NFL stadium going to collect dust? No, not necessarily. But how many times is it going to get used in a year? And no disrespect to my wonderful friends in Kansas City. I mean, how many Beyonce concerts is coming to the stadium all year long? Come on. And so God bless the taxpayers out there. They said, we don't want to pay for this crap. And by the way, a stadium costs you a couple billion dollars, right? $5 billion, $6 billion, $7 billion. It costs you a couple billion dollars to make. Clark Hunt is the owner of the Chiefs, the same one that the Players Association said reneged on building the Chiefs a better locker room. That guy, the same guy who has a house basically built in a suite. I know it sounds crazy. I'm not saying this wrong. The man basically has a suite at the current stadium. It looks like a suite from the outside, but when you go in, it's like a damn house, a multi-level house. Forgive me, I was wrong. It's not a house. It's basically a mansion. He has marble this and that in his suite with an upstairs and a downstairs. Ridiculous. Clark Hunt is worth an estimated $2 billion. The Hunt family, they are worth approximately $25 $1 billion. Now, you tell me why the Hunt family won't pay for their own stadium. Because they want the people to pay for it. I guess these rich people think, oh, well, yeah, well, you love the Chiefs so much, then put in some sense. This is how rich people stay rich, right? Hey, we won't stay in Kansas City, Missouri. We'll just take the team to the other side of the damn border and go to Kansas City, Kansas. Stop trying to milk people for their money. Spend it. I can understand this from a business perspective. That doesn't make it any less nasty. It's bad. Spend the money. Taking the money from the city. Donate some of the money to the police officers and the people at the hospital. Fix some damn roads. Build a stadium and then help people out instead of bilking folks. Billionaire you-know-what? I've met the Hunts, met his daughter, nice lady. The daughter's very nice. But all that money, spend it somewhere else. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure the daughter will never want to talk to me again, and that's perfectly fine. Anyway, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about villains. I'm going to give you a top six list of some of the biggest villains in sports right now. No, here's a spoiler. The Hunt family didn't make it. Here's another spoiler. The Oakland A's owner, John Fisher, didn't make it. Here's another spoiler. Somebody online said Shohei Ohtani's a villain. Shohei Ohtani, he did not make the list. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to give you my list. Top six villains in the world of sports right now. Who the hell is the biggest bad guy? It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.